This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. With the holiday season comes an emphasis on giving. That may be through food donations, contributing to a charity, or volunteering your time to an important cause. But donations and volunteers are needed year-round, well beyond the holidays. And here today to talk about the important roles volunteers play in our community are Annie Taff. She's Director of Volunteer Services with the American Red Cross in Wisconsin. She's joining us via our studios in Madison. And here in our La Crosse studios are Sarah Roble. She's Executive Director of Causeway Caregivers. And Justin McKnight. He's a match specialist for Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Seven Rivers region. I'm hoping maybe we can first just go around the room and talk about what it is that your organization does. Justin, what is the mission of Big Brothers Big Sisters?
Well, at Big Brothers Big Sisters, we try to provide one-on-one mentoring with a youth in the community, with a caring adult that also lives here. And it's a fantastic program because what we see is as this relationship develops, we have bigs learning about the community because we have a lot of college students that volunteer for us. And then littles also get to experience things that they might not get to experience otherwise through the eyes of somebody who's older that they might look up to.
And Sarah, what is it that Causeway Caregivers does here in the La Crosse area?
Causeway Caregivers provides free volunteer services for anyone who lives in La Crosse County. And we help people stay active in our communities and living independent in their homes for as long as possible. So our volunteers are matched with someone based on location and interests and services that they want to do. And once they're matched, then they get together and they can do shopping, errands, getting to the grocery store. We have live performances in the area that they can go to through our different outreach programs.
And Annie, can you tell us and remind us what it is that the American Red Cross does?
Sure. The American Red Cross alleviates human suffering in the face of emergencies, and we do that by mobilizing volunteers through a variety of program areas. Different program areas that we work on are our disaster services area. We also have a military program called Service to the Armed Forces through our health and safety courses, first aid and CPR, and preparedness education as well. So in each of those different program areas, we utilize volunteers and address immediate community needs.
So obviously there's lots of staff within the American Red Cross, but what type of role do volunteers perform within the organization?
Actually, we have way more volunteers than we do staff, and we really rely on the power of our volunteers. We would not be able to do the work that we do without their efforts. But specifically, volunteers are the ones who actually are out responding to disasters on a day-to-day basis. We train our volunteers to go out and meet with families who have just had a house fire. So oftentimes, you think of our volunteers kind of sitting on the curbside as a family's home has just burned down, and they're meeting with the family to talk about what they need to get through the next couple of days, whether that's some support with food or clothing or even just meeting their emotional needs and having someone be there to put their arm around them and let them know it's going to be okay. In a couple other areas as well, we have volunteers who teach our first aid and CPR classes. And so those classes that are delivered to the community are actually taught by trained volunteers, and we're really proud of that. It's a great opportunity for people to use their, teaching skills or public speaking skills and get out there and teach life-saving skills to the community.
Do you know how many Red Cross volunteers there are in Wisconsin or maybe even broken down to the Scenic Bluffs chapter?
Sure. In the state of Wisconsin, we have just over 3,000 Red Cross volunteers. In the Scenic Bluffs area specifically, we have just over 150.
And Sarah, what about with Causeway Caregivers? Can you give some examples about the work that maybe some of the volunteers do when they are matched up with someone?
Yep, absolutely. And this is the time of year where our volunteers are seeing a lot of needs for grocery shopping, either with a person or from a list. Helping them get to the doctor when it gets icy and cold out. A lot of our folks don't feel comfortable driving, so they'll call us and see if we can get a volunteer match with them. And then the volunteer stays with them during their doctor appointment and then gets them back home again. We also have a lot of needs now for the snow removal and ice treatment within 24 hours of a snowfall. And a lot of our folks are still trying to live at home, so having a volunteer support for grocery shopping, transportation, getting that yard cleared, And this is the active time for our Arts Buddy program with the live theater and performances in our area. So it's getting people out to enjoy the plays and all of the wonderful talent we have in La Crosse.
I like that Arts Buddy program.
Yeah, it's Arts Buddy.
And Justin, you talked a bit about what Big Brothers and Big Sisters can do, but you know, for someone who hasn't thought much about it, what are some examples of maybe things that bigs and littles do together?
One of the things that I really like to hear that my bigs and littles are doing is working on schoolwork and working on social skills together. So they will they'll go out into the community, and some of them even volunteer themselves, the bigs and littles together. I just talked to one of our volunteers who was doing a fundraiser selling pumpkins this fall for Halloween and Thanksgiving, and she took her little along, and what they were doing is raising money for pets. In their community, I think it was in West Salem, that they did this. And, you know, stuff like that really inspires me, and I'm always looking for opportunities for our bigs to do activities that give back to the community, because I see reciprocity being a huge part of what we're trying to do with Big Brothers Big Sisters, because we provide this this service, and at the same time, you know, these littles are going to grow up and then be part of our community as well. So if we continue this cycle of giving back, then, you know, hopefully we'll never be at a shortage of volunteers.
Yeah, instill it early on and just show how fun it can be.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It really is fun for them, too. You know, they're doing such a valuable service, and not only our volunteers, but the littles, for their community, and they're having a great time while they're doing it.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about the role volunteers play in our community. So, Justin, how many volunteers do you have working within Big Brothers and Big Sisters in the area?
Well, this year in our region, we served just over 500 children. And given that it's one-on-one relationship, about 500 volunteers we've had as bigs. In addition to that, we have a pretty healthy staff of volunteers that help us raise funds, serve on resource committees in the various counties that we serve, and then also on our board of directors. You know, those people are giving as much to the organization as the other people that are working with the children, and we appreciate all of it.
Do you have a waiting list of littles that need to be paired up with bigs?
We do. That's a great question. Thanks for asking that. Our waiting list for boys is you know, especially large. Hmm. We tend to get a lot of female volunteers, but you know, we need more great men out there to volunteer their time and help out the boys in need in the community.
Wow. And Sarah, before the show started, we talked about how you also have a waiting list.
Correct.
At Causeway Caregivers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our waiting list is, you know, definitely in the La Crosse area, and it's individuals that are looking for a volunteer to spend as little as an hour up to, you know, as much as a volunteer wants to spend together. And our goal with Causeway is ongoing connections, so this person is going to become their grandparent, you know, their best friend in the area, and that's what we strive for. We most of our matches are years long, not months, and that's our goal when we match someone, is that ongoing connection, so they'll know family, they'll know, you know, who each other is talking about, and there's a real connection. And our waiting list is typically right now it's the visits and outings, either visiting with someone in their home or giving them a call, and just a simple phone call can make such a difference, or getting them out and doing something together, if it's walking in the mall or, you know, going someplace for a cup of coffee. It's always something fun, and it's always something that they can do together.
And how many volunteers is it that your organization has currently?
We have 362 active volunteers. Mm-hmm. In our area. And then, as Justin mentioned, also an active board of directors. And our board of directors is, you know, just the vital part of our organization.
And Annie, with the American Red Cross, is there any sort of shortage for volunteers in your organization?
Yeah, I think we're always looking for individuals who are willing to participate in really all of our program areas, but specifically with our disaster services area, as well as with our Service the Armed Forces program. And with our Service the Armed Forces program, what we're doing there is relaying critical messages from family members who are here in the States and have a loved one deployed and serving with the military overseas. And we have volunteers who are part of that emergency communication relay chain. And our local volunteers are there in the community, and they follow up with the families after the service member has received their communication. And oftentimes these communications are things where the family's having an emergency, like there was a death in the family or someone severely ill or maybe a baby was born. And that military member who's active and deployed needs to know. And so our local volunteers are there to support the families after that communication has gone through, make sure that they have resources, they know who to be in connection with. And so we're looking for volunteers to help us with that emergency communication service. In the disaster department, not only do we respond to the immediate needs of families after they've had a disaster, but we also work on preparedness to make sure that communities are ready if they were to have a disaster. And one of the programs we're recruiting for is actually called Pillowcase Project. It's a great program. We have a partner with Disney, and through that partnership, we were able to create a curriculum and materials to take into elementary schools and talk with youth about what it means to be prepared for a disaster, not just evacuating their home in the event of a fire, but that emotional resiliency that goes along with being faced with a disaster. And we're looking for volunteers to help us get in the classroom and teach that curriculum and make an impact on our youth in the local community.
So, Annie, you talked a bit about just some of the needs, but what about needs for someone like a volunteer with specialized training?
That's such a good question. I know probably every nonprofit whose volunteer base is trying to get the answer to that question. We do have a pretty wide targeted recruitment campaign. When we advertise our positions, we let individuals know what we're looking for. And some of those positions that, you know, we're looking for someone with a license or professional credential, some of that is our health services, individuals who have a RN license or even LPN. Anything in the medical professional field, we're looking for them to assist us on disasters. Oftentimes, that's one of the first volunteer groups who get mobilized during a time of disaster to meet the health-related needs of the community. We're also looking for people who have a mental health background as well. Maybe they're a counselor, a psychologist, or a school counselor, and things like that, to work with families for who, you know, have had more of a mental health issue as part of the disaster. You know, certainly disasters can be very traumatic for individuals. We do also look for individuals who have a background in something like accounting. Like I said earlier, volunteers really make up our workforce, and we empower our volunteers to get really involved in the day-to-day, including things like assessing our financial statements and ensuring that we're providing the service delivery in an accurate way. So definitely have a need for those types of individuals as well.
And Sarah, specialized trained volunteers within Causeway Caregivers?
Not really. What we want is someone who has the time and the heart and wants to make a difference in another person's life. It is wonderful when I have a retired nurse or retired doctor come through, just because most of my individuals are living home alone and family doesn't come that often, or they may have moved away from the area. So it's always wonderful to have that reassurance of a knowledgeable pair of eyes going into the home. But our volunteers, really all we need is they're wanting to be connected with someone. And, you know, an hour a week of time is really all we need.
And Justin, you had mentioned maybe some specialized positions within the board.
Yeah.
But what else is needed?
Well, the great thing about Big Brothers Big Sisters is that you don't have to possess specialized skills coming into the program to volunteer with us, because in my position and in my direct supervisor as the director of program services, we provide a lot of coaching and support on the monthly basis to all of our volunteers and the families that we serve. So if an issue were to arise, or a question or a concern that a volunteer might have because they don't have any experience in that area, we will work with them to help fill that need and to give them that knowledge to be able to work with the person that they're matched with. And the communication that goes between us and the volunteers and the families is really essential to helping fill those specialized needs, because every family's different and every situation's different. So to say that we would only look for specialized volunteers would be to sell a little bit short, I think.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about the role of volunteers in our community. My guests are Justin McKnight. He's a match specialist for Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Seven Rivers region. Sarah Roble, she's executive director of Causeway Caregivers here in La Crosse. And joining us via our WPR studios in Madison is Annie Taff. She's director of volunteer services with the American Red Cross in Wisconsin. I'm curious, during the holiday season, Sarah, you talked about some special things that are needed, like snow shoveling and whatnot. But do you see an influx of volunteers during the holiday season? Are people more inspired to say, "I would like to give my time and not just money" during this time of the year?
We absolutely do. Right around Thanksgiving, the week prior to Thanksgiving, and people just, there's just more need in the winter time. Especially with the shoveling and treatment and just helping people get out. And I think this is the time where we kind of internally reflect and see, if there's something or someone we could do to help. And our phones tend to ring more this time of year. And then they ring again in the summer once school's done and people have free time and they want to get their kids involved in volunteering. And we love to have parents with children volunteer, because that's just a little ball of energy going into someone's home. And most of the people that they're matched with probably haven't had a grandchildren or their child, below the age of 10 in a while, or, below the age of whatever. But just to have a younger person come to visit, it's just a whole new dynamic and energy for someone.
Justin, do you all see an influx?
We have a pretty steady flow of volunteers mm-hmm. throughout the year.
And as you said, there's so many college students, so maybe it's almost dependent on the school season. Yeah.
Yeah. What happens with our agency around this time of year is we see other organizations in the community seeking us out to provide services. PetSmart mm-hmm. and Onalaska does some donations for us. And then there are a few other agencies in the community that have sought us out to help out. And we're always, we're always welcoming that kind of relationship in the community.
Sure. And Annie, what about with the American Red Cross? Do you all see any sort of influx during the holiday season?
We do have a pretty steady flow of volunteers, but around the holidays we're quite busy with actually our blood services department, and so we're running a lot of blood drive campaigns, asking the community to come out and donate blood, and of course we utilize volunteers in that area as well, and it's just a great way around the holidays to give back, and it doesn't take too long. Anyone can give and come out and volunteer for a blood drive. And then we also have a holiday mail for heroes, which is a drive where the community members can actually write holiday cards to send to our service members both locally and overseas. And so that's something that picks up around the holidays, and it's really a good event for community and families and companies to get involved in. And we've even had Girl Scout troops and things like that drop off a handful of cards for us. So it's just a really great great event, and so that's going on right now as well.
And Annie, the American Red Cross, I mean, there are so many different types of volunteer opportunities within the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, anyone can volunteer, but are there some limitations when it comes to maybe background checks on people?
So we do have quite a variety of volunteer opportunities, and we do encourage anyone and everyone to come out. We were able, since we have such variety in our volunteer programs, we're usually able to find a good match for people who want to get involved with our agency. We do have a volunteer background check policy within the Red Cross, and we do ask our new and onboarding volunteers to go through that process. One of the reasons why we do that is to really protect our clients and make sure that we're able to deliver services. Like I said earlier, we empower our volunteers to get really ingrained in our mission and in our programs. And with that, there's a lot of information that is shared with our volunteers to do the job that needs to get done. So that is something that we ask our volunteers to do. But like I said, there's opportunities for the community to get involved with our agency without going through a full registration process and become a registered volunteer as well.
And I imagine there's background checks with both Causeway Caregivers and Big Brothers Big Sisters too.
Absolutely.
Justin?
Yeah, we do quite a number of background checks on our volunteers. Again, you know, it's the one-on-one time that adults are spending with children. So we have to make sure that the safety of the child and the integrity of the family is held intact. You know, all of our volunteers submit to, you know, allowing us to run background checks on them.
Sarah, same situation?
Same situation. We also do a background check on the recipients for our services because a lot of our volunteers are going into their home. So anyone who lives in the home, we do a background check on as well. So that way both sides know that they're going into a safe and positive environment.
So Sarah, you mentioned before that volunteers maybe have to give as little as 1 hour a week. I was wondering, you know, you hear so much from people, oh, I'm so busy, I have so much going on. I don't have time to volunteer, but I want to volunteer. 1 hour, maybe the bare minimum. Or what other advice do you have for people who maybe are trying to carve out more time to give their time?
Definitely think of the things that you're doing every day is the same types of things that we need to do when we lose our driver's licenses as we age. So as you're going to the grocery store, you can easily shop for someone and just have a little basket within your shopping cart and pick up their items at the same time. Doing a phone call, you know, when you're driving home and you're stuck in traffic, say, oh, I'm going to call my person and here's a half hour we can visit. And if you start small like that, it's going to blossom. You know, you're going to figure out that pretty soon you want to do something for your person. And, you know, as humans, if we're not helping, we kind of, you know, feel like there's something missing or so it's just working it into your day. And pretty soon it just becomes second nature.
And Justin, is there any sort of minimum requirement for someone who wants to become a big brother or a big sister?
There is. We have two programs, actually. One is a site-based program, and we do them at area elementary schools. And we just started at the Boys and Girls Club, Erickson Boys and Girls Club on the north side, and the Ho-Chunk Youth and Learning Center. And they follow the school year, so the bigs just volunteer, you know, as school is in session. And that's once a week for a couple hours a week. And our community-based program, again, is once a week. That runs throughout the year. And, again, it's for a couple hours a week. But just like you were saying about your volunteers and everyday things that you do, you can be a big and do the very same things. You can have amazing conversations while you're waiting in line at the grocery store or just doing everyday things mm-hmm. because it's really about building that relationship and communicating with the child in really meaningful ways. So you don't have to be doing the most exciting things, but it's about that
interpersonal. Just being together. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And Annie, what about with American Red Cross? Is there – I mean, as you were saying before, there's so much that people can do, but any sort of minimum requirement?
There isn't, actually. It depends on the program line that they're interested in. And when a new volunteer joins the Red Cross, we really take the time to get to know them. There is an application process, but we also do one-on-one conversations with them and help them find, you know, not only what their availability is to volunteer, but what are they motivated by? What are they envisioning when they think about volunteering? And specifically with the Red Cross, we try to find just the right match for them. them and their skill set, their availability, and what their passion is. So whether they're interested in volunteering, you know, once a month or, you know, consistently every week, we're usually able to find a good placement. Definitely different department lines or different, you know, program lines have you know, different involvement levels for someone to be involved in disaster services. You know, there's an expectation to take our free training and make sure that they're learning the skills that they're needed that are needed in the field to work directly with families who've been impacted by disaster. And that is a time commitment there. But, you know, it's something that builds camaraderie among the volunteers to participate in those training classes and exercise and practice their skills. So, again, you know, just depending on what activity area they're interested in, you know, we're able to find a good match.
So I want to leave on maybe just your pitch to listeners as to why it is important to volunteer within our community. Justin, I don't know if you want to share any sort of stories or anecdotes or just maybe explaining to people that the impact that volunteers can have, especially within your organization.
You don't need to be the ideal volunteer, right? And you might have a lot of doubts coming into being a big, but I just suggest come in, talk to us. There's a lot of learning that goes on through the application process. And as I talk to bigs, more often than not, they find that they're doing things that they never expected that they would be doing as a volunteer and learning things about people and relationships that they never imagined that they could get out of this experience. So if there's any bit of doubt, give a call, talk, and we will reassure you that it will be all right. And the relationship that you build with a child has been shown to have such a lasting impact. You might not see it right away, but you know, a couple of years down the line, after maybe the relationship has ended, you've made a huge impression on the life of that child. So please volunteer.
And Sarah?
There's just a great feeling that comes when you volunteer and help someone. And Causeway does about 10,000 hours a year in free volunteer services. And that is helping someone stay in their home. That's helping someone conserve their resources that they might have otherwise had to pay for a taxi or to get to do those same basic things that we all do. And it's literally as little as an hour or as much as you want to give of your time, and it makes such an impact, and you will always feel good when you're done volunteering.
And Annie, with the American Red Cross, any final pitch as to why people should get involved and volunteer in their communities?
I just think it's so important for people to volunteer with whatever agency they choose to go with, whatever pulls on their heartstrings and motivates them to get involved. I think that as they give of themselves, even if it is just an hour or 2 hours, they'll find themselves changed in that process, and they'll learn a lot, not only about the community, but about themselves as well. And I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations with our volunteers at the Red Cross, and, you know, they're just blown away by, you know, what they've experienced and so humbled by what they've seen and who they've met along the way. I just really encourage everyone to get involved to some level, whatever is possible for them. And if it's the Red Cross, that's wonderful, and we'd love to have them. But more importantly, find what they're passionate about and pursue that.
Annie Taff is Director of Volunteer Services with the American Red Cross in Wisconsin. Sarah Roble is Executive Director of Causeway Caregivers. And Justin McKnight is a match specialist for Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Seven Rivers Region. Today, we are talking about the role of volunteers in our community. Listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, we talk with a La Crosse woman who has received statewide recognition for her volunteer work and what inspires her to be involved in volunteering. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. There, you'll also find links to the different organizations we talked with today. Our site also has other recent editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share a comment or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, photos, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.
This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. With today's busy lifestyle, there are plenty of reasons why people can't find the time to volunteer. Our next guest has been such a prolific volunteer in the La Crosse area that she's been given statewide recognition by AARP Wisconsin for her work giving her time to causes in the Cooley region. Judy Buffler of La Crosse talks with La Crosse County UW Extension Department Head Mary Meehan Strube about volunteering. Judy starts by sharing her background.
I was born and raised in La Crosse, went to Madison to school, and I was a medical technologist at Gunderson in the ancient times. I was on the first heart surgery team and then in renal dialysis. And when my oldest son was born, I was able to stay home and became very involved in the schools and all the activities that my kids were in. And I've just enjoyed life, and I love living in La Crosse.
Now, Judy, you've been known for many of the volunteer kinds of things that you've done throughout the La Crosse area. Tell me, was helping a part of what was instilled in you at a young age?
Yes, my parents were very much a part of the community. My mother was a musician and piano teacher, but my father worked at the Autolite in La Crosse. And he was also on the city council. And he gave so much and told me that, you know, you don't just live in a place. You have to give, too. And so I think my father was the one that instilled my brother and I in the fact that we needed to do something for other people. So,
what was your first experience volunteering?
In high school, we volunteered at the Salvation Army, and I rang bells when I was like 14 years old, and that was, and probably at my church too. When I was in high school, I had a kids' choir at church too. So it's always in most of the things when I think back on it, my volunteering either have to do with something with children, or with education, or with music.
So. And what do you think drew you to those areas?
I like people. Mm-hmm. And that's it. You know, I really believe, and I'm not saying that's what I am, but I think that people are placed here that are caregivers, and I think that I've always been a caregiver, not for my family and for the community. So
there is caregiving beyond just the immediate family, isn't there?
Right. Right. Absolutely. You know, that's when I think about volunteering, I think a lot of people think that, well, I can't do that. And no matter what your station in life, whether you're wealthy or you're poor, you always have something to give, even though you'd think you don't. Mm-hmm. And if you just give it a try, your life becomes more rewarding for what you've done.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Mary Meehan Strube, and I'm talking with Judy Buffler of La Crosse, a volunteer who dozens of times over many different projects has volunteered and shared with the greater La Crosse community. Now, you mentioned, you know, music's always been a part of your life, a big part, and I know that you play the piano. Does that lend itself to volunteering a lot?
Oh, absolutely. I'm entering my 32nd year as a volunteer piano accompanist at Longfellow Middle School. I play for the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade choirs, and I was a student at Longfellow, so I'm hoping that soon they'll give me a diploma so I can go on, because I started playing as a piano accompanist there when I was in fifth grade at Longfellow. And I've also played it at Central for some of the choirs there. And it gives me, I just love seeing all the kids blossom with their music. So,
how did you learn to play the piano?
Well, my mother was a piano teacher, but, you know, you never take lessons from your parent. And I had this wonderful, wonderful piano teacher. And I started playing the piano when I was in first grade. Miss Knudsen, you had to be able to read in order to take lessons. And I was starting to play by ear, and my mother was afraid that that would, you know, I would continue to play by ear and not read music. And my first piano lesson was at her home, which is over on, we drove up in front of it. My lesson was at noon, and it was in a house that looked like a castle to me. And she came to the door, and she had this really deep voice, and she said, "You must be Judy Burkhardt." And I burst into tears and went in the house, and it was indeed a castle. And I never touched the piano. She held me on her lap, and her sister made cookies and milk, and she won me over from that day. But that's who I took piano lessons from, and I took from her for years and years and years, and I got a really, really good background. I'm not, if I was to be asked to play a solo, I would be sick to my stomach. But I am a piano accompanist, and you can put a piece of music in front of me, and I can play it.
That's so. That must be come to you naturally, because as a part of volunteering, it's usually working with others,
right.
And
yep.
It's the team yep. or group effort.
Right, yeah.
So what other types of volunteering do you do?
Well, I was one of the founders of the Children's Museum, and that's probably one of the happiest and best things that I've ever done. I was one of the original people that started the community Thanksgiving dinner in La Crosse, and I was the volunteer coordinator for that for 14 years. What other things have I? Oh, probably one of the most enjoyable and rewarding things is that for 8 years I was the accompanist and leader of the Riverfront Singers, and that brought me so much joy, and those people were wonderful. What else? My church is really important to me. I have a children's choir, and I play for the first service, and I'm on the now. Today I'm on the United Fund for the Arts and Humanities, which I think I've been on that probably 20 years. The arts and humanities are really important to me. And when I do volunteer, it has to be something that means something to me. If it's not benefiting people, I don't waste my time.
Uh-huh. Yes. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Mary Meehan Strube, and I'm talking with Judy Buffler of La Crosse, a volunteer who dozens of times over many different projects has volunteered and shared with the greater La Crosse community. Now, you mentioned that you were one of the founders for the community Thanksgiving dinner. And that's been it's been here for a long time.
Since 83.
So how has it changed?
I think that when we were part of it, we cooked our own dinners, and it grew from the first year there were about 150 people at Stoffel Hall. Mm-hmm. The next year there were 300, and the third year there were 500. And we tried to make it a day that if you were at home, you'd watch TV or the kids would play games. And so we tried to make it a family affair. Mm-hmm. And we moved to the La Crosse Center, and it grew and grew and grew. Now, there's so many communities that took that idea and, you know, Onalaska and Holman and Sparta all have their own now. Mm-hmm. So it's a little more daunting, I think, mm-hmm. to find funds and a lot of there's more expense. I mean, we had to pay the insurance for one day at the La Crosse Center.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's just they still have a wonderful dinner and everything, but it's a lot different than it was when you start something.
Yes, it's like it grew considerably, and it changes as the needs and the times change.
But it's funny how people still call me and say, "I want to volunteer." Our kitchen from probably the end of August until Thanksgiving, we had charts on the walls when people would. We had a phone line that the phone company put in and. They didn't charge us for it, but it was just for Thanksgiving dinner mm-hmm. volunteers. And, you know, it was wonderful. It was good for my kids, too.
Sure. Well, Judy, what inspires you to continue to volunteer?
I like people. And I think it keeps you young. Mm-hmm. I was talking to someone about, you know, when people have worked and they're looking forward to their retirement, and they think, "Oh, I can't wait! Don't have to get up in the morning." And a lot of them, if they just go out and volunteer somewhere, they'd feel a lot better and a lot younger. I know I don't think I act or feel as old as I am. Mm-hmm. So, and you have to have something in your life that inspires you to do your volunteer work, you know.
So how do you choose who you help and how much time you give?
Well, I end up, if you talk to my husband, he'd say that I end up giving too much time, but it in my heart, I just know when somebody asks me to do something, "Would you help with this?" Yeah, I will. And people don't think that I say no, but I do. If it's not something that I think that I'm doing it for that particular project, you know.
Mm-hmm. So now you're just in your 70s, right?
Right.
So have you slowed down? Are you thinking about slowing down, or are you just getting revved up?
I'm still ready to do things. I have a project in mind that I don't want to talk about right now, but it's very appealing to me, and I would give it my all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm on the Winding Rivers Library System and also the Washburn Fund at the library, and I love those groups. And so till I can't move anymore, I keep telling people that, you know, I play the piano, and I think that I will never have arthritis in my fingers because mm-hmm. they're moving all the time.
Great. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Mary Meehan Strube, and I'm talking with Judy Buffler of La Crosse, a volunteer who dozens of times over many different projects has volunteered and shared with the greater La Crosse community. Judy, what's the most rewarding volunteer job that you've done?
I guess I'd have to say the Children's Museum, because it has brought such joy and happiness to so many people. That and the Riverfront Singers,
mm-hmm.
you know, the two things that make me smile.
And when you think about them, what do you get out of volunteering with them?
The pleasure of being with those people. You know, I don't do it for myself, but, you know, all the people that volunteer in this community, too, are just an inspiration, you know. I just happen to be one that says yes, but there's tons of people that say yes. Mm-hmm. So,
and when you think about the work that you've done and you interact with others, do you ever steer people towards volunteering?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I have several people that, oh, I wish I could do this or I wish I could do that. And, oh, why don't you go there? Why don't you go to the hospital and sign up to be a volunteer and you'll love it. And mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So do you ever take any hand in hand with
yes.
you?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. I have done that.
So as you think about the things that you started with many years ago, the projects that you've worked on over the years, have you seen a change in volunteers?
Yes. It's getting more difficult to find people to volunteer, but that's not necessarily because they don't want to. But in this day and age when young people have, you know, their economic status, they're working jobs and want to be with their families. You know, it's harder for those people to make a commitment to something. But I've also seen that a lot of people think that if they volunteer that they're going to get some benefit from it. But that's not what volunteering is about. You volunteer because it's something that you feel strongly about or that you want to help someone. I have this thing on my refrigerator that has been there for probably 40 years. And it's a quote from Albert Schweitzer, who said that you don't live here alone in this world. And you have to do something more for your fellow man. And just to remember that you don't, and you can give something back. And people need to do that. It'd be a nicer world, I think.
Is that the philosophy that you live by?
I try to. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It yeah. comes across as I'm talking with you and in the beliefs that you have and the commitment to the things, that's yeah. the
it is.
Thought
it,
behind.
We all need to think about that.
So if there was someone, if I'm sitting across the table from you and I'm thinking that, oh, maybe I'd like to, maybe I don't know if I have enough time, or should I really volunteer, what advice do you have for people who are considering volunteering for the first time?
Well, I bet I could talk you into it in a short time.
Okay.
Because when you talk about the different volunteer opportunities that I've been given, I can give you instances that'll make you want to come and volunteer. Mm-hmm. Just stories about funny stories or poignant stories about the things that I've experienced volunteering, and I'll bet you'd join up.
Would you be willing to share one of those stories?
Let me think. There's a lot of them. Well, this is just a for instance. This is with my children's choir at church. If I was looking for somebody, I'm doing a Christmas pageant.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had this little girl who said to me, I want to be one of the kings. And I said, oh, sure. Well, her mother said, I think you gave her the wrong part. She's a king. And mm-hmm. I said, well, that's what she wanted. Mm-hmm. And you can, you know, she can be a wise man or a wise woman. I don't think it makes any difference. And the mom helped me with the costumes. So, you know, I'm trying to think of something else that that I could share. Oh, like the Children's Museum.
Mm-hmm.
The day that the day before we opened 16 years ago, we had a banquet for the people that had donated or volunteered. And I thought that was pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
But the next day, we opened And we had 800 people go through the museum that first day. I had to go in the bathroom because I cried. And it wasn't because I was sad. Mm-hmm. It was because these kids were having such a good time. And you get to observe that every day. And I bet you would like to come down there and play with the pin screen, too.
and it's great when you can see those kinds of opportunities.
Yeah.
It makes it all worthwhile.
It does.
And you feel like your contributions have made a difference.
Yeah.
And an impact in the community. So, Judy, do you have anything else that you'd like to share with us about volunteering, your thoughts on volunteering?
Just the fact that you will reap so many benefits, and it's not what you give, but, you know, what you receive. Mm-hmm. And the people that you meet that are so wonderful and make you want to keep going back. Mm-hmm. Keeps you young.
Judy Buffler of La Crosse has volunteered for dozens of causes in the La Crosse area. She talked about the impact of volunteering on her life with La Crosse County UW Extension Department Head Mary Meehan Stroop. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Stroob, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other recent editions of Newsmakers. And if you'd like to share comments or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links, and photos, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.